Okay, I'm ready to go.
Juan, have you started recording?
Yep, we're good to go.
Okay, good.
Okay, good afternoon. This is Lois Pollock, Commissioner of the IAPC Subcommittee for Code Enforcement. And we're meeting today. I'd like to do a roll call.
So I will do that. Representing Ward 4, Commissioner Brian Andrews.
Here.
Representing Ward 5, Commissioner Robert Clark.
Here.
Representing Ward 6, Commissioner Lois Pollock.
Here.
And we do have a quorum.
All right. Thank you to everybody who joined us today. And I want to mention it is 3:09 p.m. We got started just a little bit late, but well within the guidelines. And everybody's got connection problems, including me. First, we'd like to review, it's item number 2 on the agenda, is approval of the March 22nd, 2022 subcommittee meeting minutes. And if everybody's had a chance to just, those are pretty brief. Everybody had a chance to review those, I hope. Does anybody have a motion to accept the meeting minutes as written?
This is Commissioner Clark, I'm going to accept the minutes as submitted.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Excellent. So a motion by Commissioner Clark, a second by Commissioner Andrews. And all in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Okay, we've accepted the meeting minutes from the last meeting. So we're going to move on to item number 3 on the agenda, which is a discussion of findings from case review. And I don't know who wants to. Maybe I'll start this out. I just finished my homework and I just, I'm still to digest a couple of, one of the entries on the spreadsheet we got. So just to recap for, we, each of the three commissioners got 33 cases, a random sample from code enforcement cases from 2021. They started anywhere from January completed. We got the got these cases, the status of the case, and whether it was no verify compliant, it's still open or what. And then we were going to try and each determine whether the process for the whole code enforcement had been followed, and that was per the code enforcement manual, procedure manual. And then we were looking at another some information as to whether we thought that there were adequate notes in the case, whether the notice dates were met, the initial date, we were gathering information on the number of days, and that was from the initial date to the first inspection date, and we're gathering the number of days from the inspection date to the closure date. And then trying to determine whether we thought that was timely or not. It's subjective, but it was a yes, no. And then any kind of notes we could keep our own notes on anything we wanted to that we saw in the case, whether it was on timeliness or what was written or not written or whatever you wanted. And so based on that, we were all given that assignment to go through our cases. And so is everybody straight on that part, what we were supposed to be collecting? I hope.
Madam Chair, I think it was fairly clear.
Okay, excellent. Now, I personally have not gone through to determine whether this big giant thing called process followed. Yes, no. I haven't gone through the entire manual yet and come to that conclusion or not. So I'm still working on that. And notice dates met. Yes or no. Same thing. I've got to go back through and reread the detail of the procedure and the detail of the code enforcement procedures manual and try to figure out if everything was done. I don't know if there's enough information all the time, but so I'm still working on that one. How did everybody else do? Commissioner Clark, did you have time to look over your cases?
Yes.
Okay. Perfect. And Commissioner Andrews?
I also did you have time.
Okay, great. Well, Commissioner Andrews, can we start with you and you can maybe go through and I made some notes, kind of like a summary of all the cases I looked at as to what the significant things were that stuck out. I don't know how everybody else did it, but I'll just give it to you first, Commissioner Andrews, and you can talk about your cases.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. I did have, I believe, 35 total cases, although one of the ones that was listed on the Excel spreadsheet was not copied. And I had the weed complaints actually appeared to have no action whatsoever other than an initial call. And I asked if I could talk to somebody from code enforcement. I later learned that during the time period from which these cases were sampled, the code enforcement people would take a weed complaint and turn it over to the community service department of the Tucson Police Department. And so all records and notes stopped after the initial referral. So that changed my analysis as to whether the process was followed, yes or no, from no to yes. And there were five of those cases, and then everything else really became not applicable. In general, it looks like of the cases I looked at, the majority of them followed the process that was identified in the code enforcement handbook. Some of the inspectors are better note takers than others. I had 16 of the looked like they had very, very good notes, and probably eight of them had inadequate notes for me to really follow. Notice dates having been met, it looks like eight were very timely, and I based that on the initial, I believe code enforcement in their book looked to respond within 10 days, and it looked like about there were eight that were timely, the rest probably were not. And then, as you might imagine, there's just a variety of days from that the inspection process took place, with a few cases open still, but the fastest probably being resolved in a day, and the longest that's still not pending was probably 69 days, or 79 days, actually. So there was a variety there, and that also goes with the inspection to closing the case date. And then my analysis of timely, it looked like of all these cases, there were four that I considered timely. The rest were really drawn out and might go to the fact that as we learned through our interview processes and presentations, that the code enforcement officers are handling multiple divisions within the city, and their workloads are very high. I had some notes. They were just as to whether cases were still open or whether they were referred to TPD and how they were handled, or if there had been no action. And there were two cases like that. That really summarizes the cases that I looked at. And I suppose if there's an opportunity that we're able to get together and, you know, in a face-to-face summary meeting where we start documenting and creating a report, we could actually make sure we were looking at these in the same way and compare notes going forward.
Okay, thank you. And Commissioner Clark, why don't you give us your summary on how you looked at these and what you found?
Well, I'm afraid my coming late kind of influenced my findings. I, out of the 33 cases that were provided to me, 10 reports I couldn't evaluate. They didn't have contact date, the ID of the investigator, findings. I had four in Ward 4, three in Ward 5, two in Ward 1, and one in Ward 2. I couldn't find any follow-up.
Commissioner Clark, can I ask you a question? Did those happen to be have a status of referred?
I couldn't evaluate that.
I mean, it was on your spreadsheet under column F. It said status. And do you happen to remember if they were, any of those said referred on there? Because Commissioner Andrews was talking about that, and that the ones that had been handed off to TPD didn't have any information in them except the date that it got reported.
Well, I reviewed the cases that were provided for me. I couldn't evaluate many of them. I didn't have on 10 of those reports, I had no contact date. I had no ID of the investigator. I couldn't find anything on the findings. And I didn't see anything on follow-up. On some of the cases, the rest of the cases were fairly complete, but I'm a little confused when I find a case closed, but the bottom line was follow-up code enforcement. And I'm not sure what that means. Once the case is closed, is it still referred? I wasn't able to ascertain that.
So I'm looking at your list of cases. I mean, it's not the list, but it's the document that we were given in the PDF file. And for instance, T21DVO4320, it got initialized on 7/8 of 2021, but it says current status referred. But it never said, and then underneath, under inspections, it just says initial code enforcement and follow-up code enforcement, and everything else is blank. There's no, but it doesn't say that it's closed. It just says referred.
No, I was referred to the 10 cases that I couldn't evaluate because I couldn't find enough information on that to be able to come up with an evaluation.
Yeah, can you give me one of those right off, and I'll just go look at your list here. Yeah, what's one of them? Just for the heck of it, so we can understand better what you were looking at.
I have the files open, and if it would help, I can share my screen so we can try to narrow down and all look.
Could you just, maybe it would be helpful if you could please just first open the spreadsheet that Mr. Clark, Commissioner Clark got. And maybe he can point out to one of them.
So do you see my screen?
I see it. I can see it.
Yeah.
And so these are the data collection list that was sent to Commissioner Clark.
Yeah, and Commissioner Clark, so the 10 that you're referring to under column C, inspection date, they say they're blank, right? I mean, they're blank. There's no date there, like the very first one.
Right.
Okay.
I did most of my evaluation on the actual cases that were provided to us.
Okay.
On the report.
If it's the status, if it says referred, that means, Commissioner Andrews was saying, it means that they got referred immediately over to the police department to handle. And we found out that none of those are filled in. There's no data. So you came to the right conclusion. I mean, there's nothing to evaluate. But it's because they got referred to the police department and they never recorded anything, because the police department, it was my understanding, did not have access to Permits Plus. So they could not go back in and put in anything that they had done, if they had done anything. But that's okay. Those are all the ones I just wanted to double check and make sure, but it looks to me like there's 10 of those, and that's probably what yours were. Okay, so moving on to the rest of your conclusions, what else did you come up with?
Well, the ones that I thought were good reports showed good follow-up, and I was able to ascertain from each one of them what had been done.
So did you find that most had adequate case notes?
About 23 of the cases had good data.
Okay.
I just wasn't in.
All right. Now, what about timeliness? What's your conclusion with looking at all of the dates, when they were open, when they were inspected, when they were closed? What's your conclusion on timeliness?
T21DV06190. I had a report was filed on 9/7/21, and the initial inspection was 3/21/22. That was the only one that I found was really out of bounds.
I don't see that one. Is that it, Leah? The 6190? I'm sorry, Commissioner Clark, what was that number again?
6190, yeah.
Okay. So they show on this log that it didn't go through initial inspection. It just got reported, but there's no initial inspection.
I think further down on that, I found that the initial inspection was 3/21/22.
Okay, we'll find it here. We're just paging through these reports. 6190, yeah, that's it. And it says, well, okay, So then it says 3/21/22 initial inspection. Yeah, that's pretty far.
And then they said there was no violation when they looked, but it was several months after the initial complaint came in.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's unusual. Okay.
And the number ones, there were 10 of them where I couldn't determine who did the investigation. There was no report, inspector ID. And I'm not sure how one follows up if you can't, if you don't know from the report who did it.
All right, and those aren't the same 10 that say referred, right? So do you have one of those that you were looking at?
I'm trying to find it. I don't have much work room here by the computer.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay. So any other?
Most of the rest of them I found were timely and was able to evaluate them as on a yes. But those
now,
10.
Just out of curiosity, so timeliness is kind of is subjective. So what did for myself, I thought anything basically over about 20 or 22 days, from the time it got inspected to the time it closed, if it was over about 20 to 22 days, well, actually, I was looking at from the date it opened to the initial inspection date. If it was over 20 days, I thought it was not timely. And I had a few of those, probably three or four of them. And if it, from the date of the inspection to the closure, I thought if it went more than 30 to 40 days, if it went longer than 40 days, I called it not timely. I had some actually that were 263 days to close, 180 days to close, 265, 290. So I had some that were way off. I had one that was minus 28. So the dates that got recorded weren't correct. Okay. Well, I got your comments, Commissioner Clark. Any other additional information from your review?
Okay. I didn't understand exactly what was meant on when it said case closed and then follow up code enforcement. I'm not sure what that meant, if the case was closed.
Let's see if we can clarify that. Do you want to pull up one again, Leah? And yeah, that might be helpful just to look at one and clarify what we're all looking at, because we didn't have time to look at one and all of us go through it. So this one, case number 6190, it opened, it got initialized on 9/7. The thing I didn't understand sometimes was the date printed. I don't understand that date, but we weren't exactly looking at it. This one, if you arrow down a little bit, the first action was on 3/21. So it opened on 9/7, and this action was on 3/21/22, like you said. And they're following up on this to close the case, basically. I think in this case, I'm just speculating, but it probably got referred to TPD because it was simple. And no one ever went out. And now code enforcement had said in our last meeting, I think, or the previous one, I can't remember, that they were going through all referred cases and following up on them, going out to the site to ensure that they were all abated. And so all these open ones, they still have on their work list to go back out, because they took back these cases from TPD, and because that process that they had set up didn't work like they thought it was going to, and TPD didn't have enough time to close them, or, you know, plus I know from talking to them that their method of communicating to TPD which cases they got was probably via email and a spreadsheet. TPD did not have access to Permits Plus to go look at anything. And so, and they didn't have access to go record their results, their date of visit and what it was, and if they talked to anybody, you know, talk to the owner or occupant. And so that process didn't work, and they're still cleaning up. And this is one of them that they went out and they said, okay, we're going to see if that issue still exists. Can we look at the next one down, Leah? So this one, it opened on 9/8 of 21, and they got out there, they contacted somebody by the 10th, and then they, if you arrow down there on 9/10, yeah, it just talks about the notice of violation and what it was for. So they always quote chapter and verse what the notice of violation was. And then if arrow down a little further.
Well, can I call your attention to 04320?
Sure. Can you find that one, Leah?
04320. Is that the numbers you said? All right, let me find that. If these are in order.
There you go.
4320. That's what you said, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
The date initialized was 7/8/21. We had an owner and a phone. 7/8 was a phone, and I have no date for initial code enforcement and no date for the follow-up code enforcement. I wasn't able to determine what, if anything, was done.
Well, this is another one of those referred ones that they referred to the police department, where it says current status at the top left under date initialized, date printed. That referred means it went to the police department. And again, they have yet to close it. It's still open at code enforcement. It'll be just in time for this year's monsoon. It'll probably be back. Yeah, but they have, I don't know, I can't remember how many cases they said they have like this, but it was a lot, like 1,200, 1,400. I forget what the number was, but it was a lot of cases. And they can't just close them and say done, because they may still be open. They may still have, you know, the issue. And so they're just trying to catch up with these when they have the time. So does that kind of answer?
Well, the problem I have is I understand it was referred, but I have no idea what was done to get it referred, whether there was... excuse me, whether there was an inspection or not.
Yeah. So on your spreadsheet under column H for adequate notes, say no, there aren't adequate notes.
Right.
And was the process followed? Well, no, or it would be closed. And so I think that's pretty clear. The process wasn't followed.
They said I had 10 of those out of 33.
Yeah. Yeah. You got the, you were lucky. I didn't get very many of those. Okay. I had a few notes. Some cases had less than one day for the number of days between reporting and site visit. And I kind of questioned that because I know they told us at one point, and I know from personal experience, that the cases were taking up to 5 days or 5 business days. So that could be like 7 days. They were taking that much time to even get in the system. And so date initialized is the date they typed it in. It's not the date that the complainant notified the city necessarily. And so there's multiple ways to notify the city. You can call, you can put in a online complaint. Maybe that's the only two ways really. And I know that when they had a lack of personnel, they were behind on entering. And so the inspectors, sometimes I noticed that sometimes the number of days to go do an inspection ranged from one day to 60, with probably 15 or 20 being the average. So that was all over the place. So I don't think they're following their own process if that's what they're doing.
Right.
And because they were supposed to enter it, send out a notice, go within, I think, 10 days to the site. And so if they got there within 20 days, that's probably the sweet spot, 20 days or less. But some of them were one day. And I couldn't figure out, they were the same day they got entered. And I couldn't figure out, okay, how are those getting looked at before the ones that didn't get looked at in 53 days were looked at, or 30 days or 25 days. I couldn't figure that out. There's no figuring it out. It's just looking at it and thinking, okay, this doesn't quite make sense. And probably in about, a good 40% of mine, they didn't have adequate going on. And none of them, sometimes the case notes weren't in chronological order. And so you had to cruise all the way through everything to figure out, okay, where are we at on this? And so an inspector would have to go through and just kind of look at the dates. And there's two sections in here with dates. And so that was kind of, it's just the way Permits Plus is. But you had to go through the whole case file, and that probably causes some slowdown because they enter things and then it shows up in different places on these printouts that we were looking at. On their system, it may look totally fine to them, but when it gets printed out, you have to read everything. Like I said, a lot of case notes weren't adequate. They jumped from giving an NOV and 100 days later, it was in compliance, but it never said anything about anything. Sometimes they had a revisit. They said, I'm going to go back in 10 days, or they told the property owner or occupant, whoever got the notice, you have 10 days to abate this. Almost always, they would never go back in less than 30 days. So I understand why, because they don't want to go back and then it's not abated in, say, 15 days, and then they have to go back yet again. And so those times I didn't think were timely. Sometimes I had one case that said they're going to go back in 10 days. And on the same day, they said they were going to go back in 30 days. And I'm like, okay, which one is it? But that was only one of them. Let's see. And none of them had any indication that there was going to be a reinspection fee assessed. I don't know where they're keeping track of that. But they should be looking at the number of times they had to go back, especially if it ended up in as a citation. But there was no indication about reassessment fees at all. And so I don't even know if that's something that can be collected in Permits Plus. But they had told us that they just reinstituted that, I think earlier this year or late last year. I can't quite remember. I had to go back on my notes and look at that. But I'd be interested in knowing if they are collecting any or assessing any reinspection fees. It's only $75 or something, but when they're going back multiple times and it goes to court, it starts becoming a whole bunch of, it costs a lot. And I'm kind of wondering about that. But, and Commissioner Andrews, do you have any additional comments?
I don't. I just was thinking of a comment, though, I guess, as far as the next step, it might be helpful to present what we find and any questions we may have about what's in the reports and to somebody from the code enforcement group, and maybe they can answer some of our questions and we'll have a little more uniformity in the way we've reviewed these cases.
Okay. Now, are you talking about things like asking them if it says referred, what is it referring to? Or,
well, I got clarification on that, but some of the points you've made in your reviews, it might be helpful to ask questions about their processes, why there's delays, why there's no follow-ups, and you know, gain a little bit of understanding about what we've seen and what we've discovered and documented.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds like a great idea. Yeah. I have questions about why there was only one day from the time it got input to it was the same day, the time it got inspected. And I don't know if it's because they found it or it was called in by a ward office or, you know, there's no information in the case notes about some of that. If it was an emergency, like a fire, I had one of those. And yeah, one I understand.
I had an additional question as to what it meant if a case was closed, and then a follow-up to code enforcement. If it was closed, why isn't it taken out of the system? Why is there a follow-up?
That's a good question. I have no idea. I think it's something to do with Permits Plus, but that would be a good question to ask. Any kind of things like that. So, Leah, can we put on the next agenda that we could maybe get, half an hour or 45 minutes with somebody from code enforcement who could explain some of these things we're seeing? And we can.
I will add that to. Yes, I will add that to a future agenda and attempt to get somebody from code enforcement in here to answer your questions.
Yeah, that'd be great. And I think that we're going to need these spreadsheets as evidence of what we looked at. And so if everybody could do their best to. I mean, I don't have mine done yet, but if everybody could do their best to make sure it's filled out with the yes, no, or, you know, whether you think they've met the process and any of your notes, fill out everything that's a purple field. That would be really helpful because we'll need it just as backup data for our audit to turn it in with it. And then, you know, I'd like to get Leah to poll all of us for the next available dates for the week of the 23rd through the 27th, although I know that is Memorial Day. And if that week doesn't work, the 30th through the 3rd, and see if we can have that next meeting so we can push this report along now. And at the next meeting, I know we don't have all of our questions answered from code enforcement about a sample we looked at, but we have all of the, and Mr. Clark, Commissioner Clark, we know you weren't in on everything from the beginning, but I'd like to get all of our notes from our interviews and start, if we could each summarize the significant things we saw from the interviews with the code enforcement people from the beginning of the process, then we can start having Leah write them all down on paper, see which ones are exact. You know, we each, oh, yep, you said this, I said this too. Okay, let's put that on the list. And then we can talk about the ones that aren't redundant, and we can come up with a final, like, or, you know, not maybe not final, but we can come up with a preliminary bullet points, at least, of these are the significant things that we saw during our interviews. And then these are the significant things we saw during our review of the code cases. And then we can look at that and separate them out maybe by the ones that are they complying with their procedure. And we can put those in a separate place. Okay, we saw these things, which is not in compliance with the procedure. And then we saw these other things, which are opportunities for improvement. And we'll try and then go back through that outline we had of why we're doing this audit in the first place. But so for the next meeting, would that be possible if everybody could maybe in advance send Leah their bullet points of any significant things that you saw separated by where they didn't follow the procedure during the interviews that we had with them and where, you know, what they were telling us, and then the opportunities for improvement. Now, the opportunities for improvement are going to be things that we run across, such as they oftentimes told us they had inadequate resources. So that would be, I think, under the opportunity for improvement category, or we can call it something else. We don't have to call it opportunities for improvement, but it would be, you know, significant issues that kept the process from working to the best of its ability. So does that sound like an outline? And you all can certainly tell me if that sounds good or not. I'm just trying to figure out what the next step is to collect our information, so then we can all look at it at the next meeting and make sure we have included everybody's input.
Madam Chair, Brian Andrews, I think that's a reasonable approach, and I'll try to take what I've heard from each of you today and make sure my notes perhaps are uniform to what I've heard from each of you in your reviews, so that, you know, we can advance our discussion then going forward.
Sounds good to me too.
Yeah, that'd be great. I know that there's people in the community and the ward office. I mean, the Ward 3 office originally sent in the request for the audit. And I know that they are anxious to see a report. And so I'd like to try and see if we can have maybe, you know, another meeting, and not to have it be lengthy, but just to try to sort out a little bit until we get that report, down, and we can, you know, finalize it.
So, Subcommittee Chairperson Pollack, it sounds like we have actually moved on to item number 4, the discussion to draft the report. That's fine. I just want to clarify that that's what we're on at the moment.
Yeah. It did, and I don't want to cut anybody off. Did anybody have any more discussion of findings from our case review? It sounds like we kind of each had some things we saw. Okay, so now any additional information about the trying to move into the draft report. We'll just send everything to summary of information that or notes you took on significant things that were heard during the discussions for the last few months and send those to Leah. And then Leah, maybe you can put them next to each other on a spreadsheet or something. I don't know. And so we're going to pretend like we have a whiteboard. And then we're going to say, okay, number one on Lois's list is number three on Commissioner Clark's list and number four on Commissioner Andrews' list. So, okay, that goes on the report. And so we're just going to try and knock them off one by one and make sure everybody's input gets into the report. And then to see if we consistently heard the information. So, because we're going to have a discussion about, okay, I thought they said this, and, oh, I thought they said this, you know, something different. And so we're going to have to talk about what we all heard. I think it's probably going to be fairly close. And then we'll at least have more information at the end of the next meeting.
This is Commissioner
Pollack. Oh, sorry. If all of you would like to send your notes, your bullet pointed notes to me, I will collate them and disseminate them to the group for you all to review.
Do we have a date? This is Commissioner Clark. Do we have a date that we have to send them to you so you can get it done?
Well, we have not. I would think it would want to be done before the next meeting. I know Commissioner Pollack was wanting to try to schedule that meeting at least tentatively today if we could.
I'm just saying the next 2 weeks. So you can poll everybody and find out what their availability is.
Okay.
And if I'm just hoping it's going to be the next 2 weeks.
Okay.
My question was basically for Leah, how much time do you need to take our things and give us something for our next meeting? Make sure we get them to you timely.
Well, I would want at least a handful of days before the next meeting. I suppose if you think you could get me your bullet pointed lists by say the end of this week, the 13th, is that possible on your end? Or do you as commissioners feel you would need more time? I think I could turn that around and I would not need more than a week to turn that around once I have all three of your inputs. Until I see your inputs, I would hate to commit myself to a shorter time frame than that. Although I think the turnaround could be faster than that, but until I see what all of the comments are and what information I'm collating for you, I just would not want to commit myself to shorter time frames.
I think that sounds reasonable. I mean, you know, 4 or 5 days in advance. Well, either by the end of the week or maybe the first of next week.
So if by the first of next week I have information from the three of you, I would say by the end of that week I should have it collated into a rough draft to begin with. And then I will also, at that point, once I have that information from you all, I will try to start coordinating schedules for the next subcommittee meeting. And in that case, it sounds like we're kind of moving on to future agenda items now.
You know, I was just going to look at the draft scope. Because we're going to need to split this up. In the end, we're going to need to put these findings or these opportunities and relate them to all the objectives. And I think I'm looking at the right, objectives. Determine if code enforcement is following documented process, outline their manual. Determine if the codes that CE is required to oversee are all receiving attention and being addressed. That's going to be a tough one. Determine whether code enforcement practices align with the city codes, which could be related to number two. Determine if the code enforcement processes are effective. And so we're going to have to have some summary statement based on evidence that we of that. So the final report is going to have these. There were nine audit objectives. And determine if the code enforcement process is effective, but also determine if it's efficient. Determine if resources are adequate. Determine whether all legally available means of enforcement are utilized. Identify opportunities for improvement. Identify risks in processes, the department and personnel. And so, Leah, could you get that? Maybe we need that list, and we need to put our, I'm not sure. What does everybody else think? Do you think we should get that list of the nine objectives and then try and put any of our significant bullet points under there? Or should we just go for the bullet points and then work on writing the report? Who's got any thoughts on that?
Well, if you want to create, go ahead, Robert.
No, Brian, you go ahead.
I was going to say using the audit objectives might create a little bit of uniformity with our bullet point observations. So that would be good to use. As we do draft the report, I'd be anxious to know what Aaron finds out from the clerk's office as to whether we can meet in person. I will offer to each of you that drafting the final report when we were doing the P-card audit worked very, very well to meet in a conference room. City staff was available. They had the Word document projected onto a screen, and we actually drafted the documents with everyone's input as we went forward. And it was very efficient and took into account everybody's views, observations, and facts. And so I offer that for your consideration.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. It's just a matter of getting the approval, the go-ahead from the city clerk. I'm not sure what's going to happen on that.
Commissioners, I did ask city clerk's office after our last full committee meeting, and the response was basically, we're still virtual. We'll let you know if anything changes. So I don't.
Okay.
Yeah, the BCC still meet virtually until we receive direction to meet in person. My understanding is mayor and council will come up with some new guidelines before BCCs start to meet in person. We'll let you know once we know. That was the response I received from the clerk's office when I did pass that question along.
I have a question.
So that's not much of an answer.
Oh, go ahead, Mr. Clark.
I'm a little confused. Because I thought I heard somewhere in our discussion today that once we get the bullet points, we'd want to question the staff before we make the final report. Did I misunderstand that?
Oh, no. I'm just thinking maybe we could do two things at once, kind of, sort of. Because the we could in the same meeting have the people from code enforcement, a representative, come and talk to us. But I didn't want that to hold up the rest of the report because we've already heard a lot of interviews, and we can at least start outlining what we're going to write, even if you have to go back and change it.
I just thought having the bullet points would give a focus any questions we might want to ask of staff.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. So I think we can maybe, Leah, if you can, does everybody have a copy of the draft? Well, call it a draft. I know we've gotten this document a few times, which is
the scope.
The scope and audit objectives, but the ones I have are, I have in here that they're drafts. So in one of my meeting minutes, I have the real one in there. But I just keep coming up with the document called draft. So do we have one that was actually released?
I'll share my screen.
Madam, yeah, I have one that says approved 4/5/21.
4/5/21?
That's correct.
Oh, okay.
Commissioners, do you see my screen?
Yeah.
And with the scope and the audit objectives and this, Commissioner Andrews, this is what you're referring to that you have as well?
I believe that is correct. Mine says approved 4/5/21 at the bottom of the first page. That part of your page is blocked on my screen. I don't know if you can scroll up a little bit. Yeah, there it is. So I have that same document.
I've got it somewhere. I just don't know where it is.
Commissioner Clark, I have that document too.
Would you mind sending it to me, Leah? Because I have a folder for every meeting we've had, and it may be in one of those meetings or it may be in an email somewhere. But if I could get that, let's see. Oh no, wait a second. I have it. I just found it. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I found that. All right. Okay. So if we could take, maybe this is the approach. You take that approved audit scope and objectives, and then you start writing your bullet point comments to address whichever one of these objectives you can. Objectives and sub-objectives. And Leah will be able to merge it all into the right places. But I know that we still may have some unanswered questions with the code enforcement people as far as why we saw some of this information or didn't see information on some of the case reports.
Did we lose Lois?
Commissioner Pollack, are you still with us? Commissioner Pollack? We may have lost her due to technical difficulties. We still do have quorum. With Commissioner Clark and Commissioner Andrews. But I can take over. Oh, maybe, are you jumping back on, Commissioner Pollack?
Counselor Trent Frye.
Cox has an outage today, and it looks like they just did that. So anyhow, I joined back on via phone because I can't I can't see anything on the internet yet. Oh, hang on a second. It's bringing it up again. Okay, I'm hanging up.
I should be back on now. Sorry about that.
Okay, good.
Okay. Okay, so do we have a way going forward now? I think.
Yes, in regards to the draft report, the three commissioners will send their bullet points to me and I will collate those and start that draft report.
Okay. Now, if we send you something and it just totally doesn't make any sense and you don't know what to do with it, you can just email us back and say, okay, here's what everybody else is doing, or, well, something, I don't know. Just to make sure we're all doing kind of the same thing, or you can make some sense out of it. Okay, perfect. And then you're going to contact us to try to set up the next date after you have enough time to collate some of this stuff. And then we'll, who knows, maybe by then they will allow in-person meetings. So,
yes, I will do that after I have the information from the three commissioners. I will start on scheduling the next subcommittee meeting at that point.
Well, actually, it's 2 weeks out. It's at least 2 weeks out. So maybe you could just start polling us on what dates we have between May 24th and June 3rd or something. And just, you know, it'll just be later. So you'll have plenty, you know, so hopefully you'll have plenty of time to do what you need to do. It would be after, by the end of the week, and then you get another week, and this will be the following week or the week after. And you know, then we have the holiday. So I know everybody takes Friday and Monday and, you know, whatever, you know, different things. So, okay. Does anybody have any other... then we can move on maybe to future agenda items. Is there any additional agenda items that we need aside from getting having a person come in and talk to us from code enforcement? Is there any other need for anybody else to come in, or any other information we might need that we don't have so far for the report?
I have nothing else.
Okay. Yeah, and I don't have anything I can think of.
Nor I.
Okay. Sounds great. Okay. So if nobody has an objection, I'd like to adjourn the meeting. And I really appreciate everybody coming and the support of the city to run the meeting and take on all these tasks so we can draft this report.
And thank you for putting up with my lack of technical skills.
Oh, no problem. All righty. Everybody have a great week, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you. Right. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye.